You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's a ridiculous take.
I mean, you're acting like the playoff game didn't happen.
Well,
That's what you're doing. Oh, look at this point. Guy.
Live.
Is that a Trask jersey?
No,
he's
it's
not
a
number
big
six.
Show.
Oh, yeah, they don't even
make Kyle Trask jerseys. I wish
the University of Florida
Trask.
Pro Shop.
It's first things first. Today, Eagles collapse. Is Sirianni done? Meanwhile, Josh Allen goes full Superman. Is this the year he can conquer his kryptonite, the Chiefs? And finally, the summit is icier than ever. A special playoff edition of Mahomes Mountain alongside Nick Wright. I'm Kevin Wilds. Brew, how do you feel today?
Don't talk to me. Don't say a word to me. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Brew, you got
to have to participate.
Come on, yeah, come
show.
On. What's
we'll
going
see.
On?
We'll see.
All right, fine. We'll we start with the final chapter of the Eagles' collapse. And the last game for Jason Kelce, 32-9 in Tampa Bay, in a game marred by missed tackles and general apathy. Philly finishes the season losing six of their last seven. Here's Sirianni after the game.
Obviously, we're in a big slide, and you know, anytime that's the case, I always look at myself first, and I didn't do a good enough job. And obviously, we lost five of the last six, and lost today. And it's almost like you couldn't get out of the rut. We couldn't get out the rut we're in, and that's all of us. We'll all have to look ourselves in the mirror and accept that.
I thought that was pretty transparent.
Yeah,
I would have blamed you, to be honest with you. And if it was happening to me, I wouldn't have been like looking at myself. I'd be like, what about this guy? How shocking was this collapse?
Simultaneously totally shocking and not shocking at all. But let's not bury
I'm
the lead here.
I'm surprised you were shocked.
Well, I'll explain that in a moment. But first, I want to give Brew credit. I understand this is a tough day for Brew.
Well, yeah.
And
double whammy.
Yesterday could have been a really tough day for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Brew kind of let me off the hook a bit. He didn't really twist
Very
the
much.
Knife that Dallas was my, you know, pick to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now I understand what you're thinking, America. Well, that's not quite the same as Brew picking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, tripling down a few weeks ago, and having them lose to a player
I
he said was going to be benched
a week ago,
for
now.
Kyle Trask. He's I understand all that.
But you were
you had a couple down. No, and then all
done.
The toes were eventually gone. But even after all the toes were gone, if you remember, he defiantly said there would be no upsets this weekend, which means even he thought they were going to beat the Bucks. And then, of course, the Bucks trounced him. But I don't want to be too hard on Brew because he wasn't too hard on me. So let me – and he's being a good sport wearing the Baker Mayfield jersey, which honestly looks great on you.
Does
better than the Cowboy – well, Cowboy outfit, not jersey that you so often
and
wear
this is
the
better
office.
Than Cowboy. I'll give you
all right.
That.
So here's why it is shocking. Because it's unprecedented. There is only one team that I could find – in modern NFL history, barring the quarterback going down, that had this type of start and this type of finish. And it's the 2008 Giants coming off a Super Bowl victory. You started 11-1 and then fell apart down the stretch and lost the first playoff game. But their star receiver shot himself and missed the rest of the year. And I love Plex and respect him, but that's what happened to them. And so it's like, oh, okay, there was an incident that derailed the team. That didn't happen here. So in that regard, historically, it is unprecedented, this type of collapse. The reason it's not shocking is because it was in slow motion for 2 months. It's because you can throw out I think fairly, getting blown out by the Niners, as they were 10-1, like, you know what I mean? That you can even kind of throw out getting blown out by the Cowboys, the divisional rival. Dallas. They had split it. They didn't have to have it. Those games take on added importance now that we know what happened. But once Drew Lock drives the field, and then the next week you struggle with Tommy Cutlets, and then the next week Kyler drives the field, and then the next week you no-show for the first half when your stars are playing against the Giants, we all knew this was happening. And then, Brew, then to circle back around to the shocking part, what was shocking to me is they played a playoff game apathetically.
Yep.
And that I've never seen. I've seen teams, with four-win teams in the last game of the year, mail it in. I don't know about you. I've never seen a team in the first quarter of a playoff game seeming to not want to be there. And that's what I saw from Philadelphia yesterday.
Yeah, I'm incredibly shocked, obviously. But they went from being one of the best teams in the league when they were 10-1 to maybe the worst team in the league. I mean, really. Carolina gave Tampa Bay more trouble 2 weeks ago or last week than Philadelphia did yesterday. I mean, they might be the worst team in the league.
You can show the numbers.
They lost to the freaking Giants
over the last 7 weeks.
And the Cardinals.
Yep.
All right. And even when they were 10-1, they were still, they weren't blowing people out, but they beat good teams.
Yep.
Six of those teams were playoff teams. So it's what I saw though last night, Nick, I agree with you. Never seen anything like it. All right, they were, it was beyond apathetic. They were dispirited. They were lifeless. They were, it was ridiculous what I saw. They looked like, and I'm not even trying to overstate it, they looked like they forgot how to play NFL caliber football. The missed tackles, they had 13 missed tackles. I bet you, and maybe this is an overstatement, I feel like I could count on one hand the times that a Tampa Bay runner or ball carrier got tackled on first contact.
Oh, that's what it
like,
felt
it was ridiculous.
Aikman and Buck seemed angry at it, understandably.
Even some of the big plays, like the first touchdown, that guy, four guys should have tackled him.
Yes.
Like, it was, I have not seen anything like it. And we got this yards after catch.
Uh-huh.
219 yards after the catch.
Wow.
I mean, 219 like yards for receivers is good, period, let alone after the catch. All of those are the most in the wild card round. What I saw, I agree with you. I've never seen anything like it, Nick. It looked like they didn't want to play. It looked like they had no confidence. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I've seen in sports that I feel like I can compare it to was when LeBron against Dallas in the 2011 finals, when they're up 2-1 and something just happens to him and he's just not himself and he looked like a different person out there. But this was over 2 months and a whole team.
And it was a team, right?
The whole team. The only guys I would say showed up were Devontae Smith and DeAndre Swift. Didn't get a lot of opportunities, but he looked like he was playing.
Fletcher Cox, I thought, was fighting. Jason Kelce, it's hard to grade it.
Yeah, I'm not
center.
The lineman.
You give him credit, but but go ahead, Wild, sir.
Eagles ranks last year's defense, which was historically good, and that's why we thought they were going to, you know, give the Chiefs a run for their money in the Super Bowl. They went from first in opposing yards per play to 24th. First in passing yards per game to 31st. Sacks, they went from first to 19th. It's just a total debacle here. So we're going to play the specific blame game with Sirianni in a second. But do you think this is just a brain drain of the coordinators leaving? Do you think this is leadership within the team?
No, I think it's
or just guys
down.
Not tackling.
Listen,
which I'm not gonna put on leadership.
Let's be very clear
they
here. We can talk about the defense and the coaching in a moment. The offense was terrible too. We can show their third down numbers. 0-for-10. They were unprecedentedly bad on third down in this game. That again,
and the
last
play selection
30
was horrible.
Postseasons. They are one of three teams, one of four teams, pardon me, to have this happen to them in the playoffs. Unprecedented is not an overstatement there. They are right now a team that looked like they had no leadership off the field or on the field.
Right.
It looked like if we're recalibrating MVP votes, that maybe A.J. Brown sneakily should have gotten some more because the offense was totally out of sync without him. And then the defense, which was the canary in the coal mine for how bad this team could be. Honestly, there were signs of it last year when the numbers were good, but we talked about the quarterbacks. Brew, and I know this is going to be a hard thing, but when you looked at that Eagles team and they didn't want to make contact and they didn't want to hit anybody and they were very finesse, did it remind you of any team or anything? What did it remind
you of? The Dolphins? This didn't remind me of anything. But I think even the Dallas loss was more shocking. But this was.
But what were Dallas? What were you calling
like
the Dolphins all year? What
breakdancers?
Breakdancers. Exactly
were
right.
These were.
It reminded you of the breakdancers.
I had no idea.
We can't say
I
that.
I had no idea.
Just for Miami, bro. Fair is fair. If you're gonna
no,
do
these
this,
these dudes have life. If these dudes gonna, are getting down, they're moving. They're with it. You know what I'm saying?
He still loves it.
I love it.
Bruce still
I will not. I will not call the Eagles great day. I won't give the Eagles that respect. These boys are getting down.
He still loves
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I can't even put the Eagles in that.
Okay.
In that.
All right.
But I'm glad you brought him in.
Bruce yeah, loves them.
That's how I used to get down back in the day. Y'all lucky your brother is like 1986.
Jermaine.
What?
Wilds, what do you mean? What's your problem?
I appreciate the effort, guys.
Yeah. I mean, Drew was saying teams that don't want to hit are breakdancers all year.
Yeah, no, I know.
He was talking about the Dolphins and certain other teams. Well, that is really well done, fellas. And now it's his beloved Super Bowl pick, the Philadelphia Eagles. Thanks, guys. Good job.
Thank you. As always, we'll see you tomorrow.
Like the Golden State Warriors. This new trend.
The Golden State, they can qualify. Yeah. They can qualify.
Okay. All right. Moving on. It was all good just 8 weeks ago. So who is responsible for this Philadelphia collapse? Here's Sirianni and Jalen Hurts.
I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the guys. Again, there's a lot of guys in that locker room, all the guys in that locker room, every single one of them that put their heart and soul into this. I'm not worried about me.
Do you want Nick back?
I didn't know he was going anywhere. I have a ton of confidence in everyone in this building. It's just a matter of us going out there and playing clean football.
Okay. Should the Eagles move on from Sirianni? Brew.
It's easy to pile on him. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get fired, but I'm going to give a nuanced answer because I don't know, and I haven't seen in the reporting anything to definitively say, like, he's lost the players. You know, a lot of the players are speaking. Now, I get it that it's on the record, so they might just be saying it. But they're saying they still believe in him and all that. And my point is this. What I saw last night and really over the last 2 months looked like something in that a problem in the organization or in the locker room. I don't know if something personal happened between, and I'm not saying it did, I have no idea, but this is beyond football. You just don't see it. Like I said, Dallas got beat, and I know they choked, they didn't show up, yep. But they didn't look like they were sleepwalking.
No.
These guys looked like they couldn't wait for the season to be over, and you have great leadership in Hurts and in Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, and some others. So it may be something going on that the players know about and even the coaching staff knows about that has really messed up the locker room, maybe.
But I mean, if not, to that point, just real quick, Jalen had that weird quote of you don't know,
right.
And even, you don't yep. know what you don't know. But go ahead.
Who knows? So my point is, if I'm running the Eagles, then I'm finding out what in the world happened. And if indeed it is just Sirianni has lost the players, lost the leaders in the locker room like Hurts and those guys, then he's going to have to go because this is a team built to try to win now. But if it's something else, then maybe they can just get some of the players out of there and all of a sudden they're back to like last year. So I'm not sure yet on Sirianni.
If I can quote Kevin Clark, who's a great NFL writer and podcaster, the Eagles have fired far better coaches than Nick Sirianni. Know that. And right now, I don't know what he does well. He doesn't call plays. Does he design a great staff? Doesn't seem like that to me. He had the defense was bad under Sean Desai. He then made it the worst in the league instantly by anointing Matt Patricia the guy while not officially firing Desai, just publicly humiliating him for the last 2 months of the year.
Would so you give that. Him credit, though, for the first 2 years? And I mean, no. He that's his staff.
No, what do you mean, of course?
That's what,
that
I mean,
was his staff. He had his staff. He had two coordinators leave. He went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so hold on. Wait, so here's what I'm curious about.
They were a four-win team.
So this is where I sometimes struggle at times with how we assign credit. I felt like, and I felt like we heard from other players around the league about the Eagles' decided talent edge last season, and that they were not a hard team to coach. I forget who it was. Dusty can maybe remind me in my ear.
Good Morning Football.
The guy who went on Good Morning Football and said that. At no point did I see the Eagles where I was like, wow, that is innovative and groundbreaking, and he's not calling the plays.
I mean, I don't want to be a jerk, but, like, the tush push might be ugly, but they're the only team that did it,
right.
And it can be groundbreaking. Well. It's like the post-it note. Like, why didn't I think of that? Like, okay. Well, you didn't.
And
they won four games before him, nine games his first year. So it was a 9-8 team going into last year.
No, I understand all of that. I don't think he's a good coach. I don't think the tush push was a brilliant, maybe it was brilliant to consider it, but I think that the credit there lies in Jason Kelce more than anyone else and the strength of the quarterback. I don't think it was a, brilliant design. Maybe it was a strike of brilliance to try it, but I also don't know that was his brainchild. And so if he were fired, would you want, let me ask you this, the Patriots have an opening. Would you want him?
In what?
To be the head coach of your team.
No, we have Mayo's the head coach. But
okay, I'm sorry. The offensive coordinator of the team. Pardon me.
As a coordinator.
No.
No, that's Mayo's decision.
Okay, yeah. So, if he got fired, would the Titans want him? Would the Chargers want him? Why should the Eagles want him?
Well, no, not many people are going to want him coming off of this. And, again, we don't know if this is on him. I mean, ultimately, he's the head coach, so yeah, it's on him. But we don't know if something else is going on. Yeah. The guy has been successful. And I'm not saying he's Andy Reid. I'm just saying he has been successful in short order.
So Brian Daboll went 6-11. Everyone else going to get fired?
Right.
And Brian Daboll's like, 6-11. Man, pretty good.
Robert Saleh.
This thing, that's it. Robert Saleh is safe. But because you went to the Super Bowl last year, because the Cowboys had all this Super Bowl hype, those guys get the axe, and Brian Daboll's sitting there at 6-11. The only surviving coach
again,
in the NFC.
If we want to talk about whether or not Brian Daboll's underrated, overrated,
it's just
properly
odd that
we're firing
the whole division.
Yes, to whom much is given, much is expected. Everyone thinks the Eagles have a lot of talent. They were the worst team in the NFL for 2 months. The coach doesn't call plays, made a massive staff change that blew up in his face, and when he got the job, it's not like people are like, oh my God. That guy, he has been on the coaching fast track. So for all those reasons.
How was he successful?
How was he successful last year? I think
the 2 years he's been there.
Okay, so the first year what he did was, when they were 2-5, he gave up play calling to Shane Steichen. Yeah. Is it possible the smartest brain in the room was Shane Steichen? But, yeah, that's
sir,
possible.
Here's the only thing I don't like, and then we're going to move on to Baker. If he's just kind of like a rah-rah guy. Mm-hmm. I get it. Who took a great roster to the Super Bowl? Fine. Now the roster's not great.
Right.
So he doesn't get any credit when they win, and he gets all the blame when they lose because no one's pointing the finger at the Eagles front office
I think Roseman's made some mistakes, but if I may, because I didn't want to yell at you, I actually wanted to give you credit for something. Wilds. Brew. You and I owe Wilds an apology.
Oh, this is going to be a fake one?
No, it's a real, legitimate, real apology. Brew, we mocked him all year for his NFC pick being the Vikings.
As we should.
I believe Wilds had the best NFC pick of the two of us. Our teams were healthy
our teams
and
were
got mortified. His team will never know.
It wasn't a good team.
So, Wilds, you know how
that was a ridiculous
bring Wilds
team.
His flowers.
I will not
outside,
go there.
We're outside, giving Wilds his flowers.
Those are funeral flowers.
We're giving Wilds his
those
flowers.
Are flowers.
We're giving him
I
your
will
flowers.
Not, well, that's
everyone
not
flowers. What do you mean? These are flowers. Everyone
Dusty,
always Dusty's talks about giving people their flowers.
Dusty, those are funeral flowers. Okay, do not ever give those to your wife.
Well,
those are like sad, flat flowers.
Well, all three of our
well, this is dead. Unfortunate. I
our
was trying to give you flowers. That, like,
buddy,
that's what everyone says. What? I asked for the Kevin Wilds special at the florist.
Meanwhile, we turn our attention to the Bake Show. 337 yards, 3 touchdowns, yeah. 1 jersey for Brew.
Look at that.
It's his, Baker's, ridiculous. Second career playoff victory as he overcame the Eagles, a rebuilding roster, and according to Brew, some preseason positive quotes about Kyle Trask. Here he is post-game. Big Show.
There's something about whether it's you're an underdog or a road game, just having your backs against the wall and knowing it's just your team versus everybody else when you're counted out. And it's always fun to be in that role. Obviously, I'm pretty comfortable in it, but our team has completely embraced that throughout the year.
Big Show, what more can you say, bro?
All right. I don't want to hear anything from you.
What?
Because you picked the Cowboys. You picked the Vikings,
no,
so I don't
want to
hear anything.
This
is between me and Baker.
Oh, okay.
Baker. I don't know if you watch the show or not.
He does.
But I've been on a roll. I've been right about almost everything. Except you and those pathetic Eagles you beat last night. So, Baker, I got one thing to say to you.
Oh, there you go.
Bravo.
There.
Bravo.
Nice.
Very well done, young man. You overcame all the naysayers, including myself. And it's been a tough 2 years for you. You've had to fight. You've been doubted. You've been down. And you have overcome. So I am impressed. And even though your season is going to end this weekend, that's all right, though. Getting them to the second round, that is an impressive season. You have had a great year or a very good year. And you obviously were great last night. So I congratulate you on this. And before I go.
Before you go.
Before I go. Yeah. I would be remiss, and I think you would agree with me, Baker, if I didn't give at least a little
Don't
bit of a shout out
Don't
to
dare.
Kyle Trask. He, if had he not pushed you
right.
in training camp,
That's
had he not brought out the best in you, it took every ounce of your being, all the talent in your body, in your arm, for you to become the starting quarterback. You edged him out. It was close, but he brought out the best in you. So I just want to give Trask a little bit of love and
day.
Baker well, a lot of love. And I got to be honest.
You like
feels
that jersey.
Right.
Yeah,
feels
maybe we'll
right.
get Baker on the show.
I will say this. I'm from Cleveland.
Oh, dude, you don't get
wish
to be.
Baker was
no,
still
no, no.
in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
I wish
I told
I
you,
Cleveland
the biggest
was
mistake that franchise ever made. All right, let's just be honest and fair here quickly. In the last 2 years, the better quarterbacking season for the Bucs was the one we just saw. We can show it. It's undeniable. Right. There is no – show it, please. There is no metric. It's the same talent.
I'm not
– except it's
– I mean, the numbers
– What, Brew? The numbers are okay. undeniable. You guys are
no,
quarterback
the numbers
wins,
are fairly
guys.
Close.
It's – What, Wilds?
And Brady was 45
no,
years old.
Hold on.
45.
Of course he's 45. We're not comparing Baker to anything other. We are simply asking, the 2022 Bucs or the 2023 Bucs, which one had the better quarterback play that season? That's the only question that
Tom
I'm asking.
Brady.
Tom Brady was better last year than Baker this year.
As good as Baker was.
Can I ask based on what?
Based on us to do this
he
with
threw
Mahomes
for more
this year,
yards.
We're going to pull up some crazy quarterback numbers.
Yeah, that's great.
Look,
Baker,
do it.
I'd love
let's
to do
not,
it.
Oh, Baker was really good last night, but let's not, oh, they beat a dead team walking. So I'm just, now, if he goes and beats Detroit or even plays them tough, I'll give you that.
Nope.
But, okay. I mean,
you,
last
I don't
night,
think you
that
guys
was,
remember last year's Bucks. They were boring, not
yeah.
scoring.
Yeah, right.
Brady was leaving the team to go to Patriot events. We talked about that being a problem, and they got rolled in the playoffs. Baker as an underdog in the playoffs went there and rolled Philadelphia. And so I just it's just he's going to get 3 years, $110 million. Why? Oh, okay.
Sometimes I don't think I'm the leader of the show when I see this. Did Buffalo finally impress Nick Wright? Next on First Things First. And Fox Sports Radio. Oh, gosh. Fox Sports Channel Series XM.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Bills on parade, jumped out to an early snowy lead and never looked back. Josh throws for 3 touchdowns and runs for another one. Here he is postgame.
I think we're playing at a comfortable level because of the uncomfortable situations that we've been in this last 6-7 weeks. You know, it's almost a sense of our breath of fresh air, knowing that everybody's in the same position that we have been, you know, win or go home. And to be in that situation, like I said, the dividends that it's going to pay off, you know, I think you kind of saw that tonight of, you know, we were cool, calm, and collected, and nobody blinked, and we just kind of went out there and did our job, and we're going to need to continue to do that.
Okay. Nick, the roller coaster is rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finally impressed with Josh Allen and the Bills?
Oh, I was super impressed yesterday. Okay. I thought that was a great win. They took care of the ball. They controlled the game start to finish. They didn't turn it over. They dealt with the elements. Even when the Steelers put up a fight at the end, the Steelers never, you know, had a lead or even tied the game in the second half. Mm-hmm. They won by 14. Now, listen, I know you guys were not impressed.
I knew it.
No,
I knew something was.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I knew
something was
going
on. I was waiting for the but.
There's no but. I found a 14-point win over the 10-win 7 seed.
Oh,
incredibly impressive. But I know the standard for this show is much higher. The standard for this show is a 19-point win over the 11-win 6 seed was not impressive. I was impressed. Wilds could be impressed. I assume Brew and Coach were not that impressed.
It's good that you brought it up and compared it to the Chiefs.
Yeah, we can show.
I honestly felt about this game with Buffalo.
Because they did nothing more impressive than Kansas City.
I felt just like I felt with the Chiefs game. I mean, honestly,
I feel like you're
playing a team that's not dangerous. Now, I didn't say there's a 0% chance they'll beat you, but Miami wasn't dangerous in my view. Pittsburgh wasn't dangerous. You beat them in workmanlike fashion.
Yeah,
I agree.
I felt like, okay, just like the Chiefs, they went out and did what they were supposed to do. The one thing about Buffalo, though, Coach, I don't believe in momentum with them. Like, if they played awesome yesterday, that doesn't mean I'm thinking, or maybe anybody's thinking, they're going to play awesome the next week. If they had looked horrible last night and won, that doesn't mean they're going to look horrible the next game. To me, they're every day, even in the game, you saw various ups and downs. They looked great initially and then let Pittsburgh get back in the game and obviously close it out comfortably. But it was Josh obviously was good, so was Shakir.
So
and Diggs. The receivers I thought were good.
So Brew was, you know, kind of nonplussed by the Chiefs, nonplussed by the Bills. I was impressed by both. Coach was disappointed in the Chiefs yesterday because he has such high expectations for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I'm very curious what you thought of the Bills game yesterday.
Well, I'm glad you asked because I am impressed by the Bills.
Who could have saw it coming?
Because their star quarterback played like a star.
Yep.
We've been talking about how they've won over the course of time, and now they're in the playoffs, and their star quarterback looked exactly like that. 3 touchdowns throwing the ball, 1 touchdown running the ball, which was the second longest run ever by a quarterback, and no turnovers. So that part to me was very impressive. The other part that was impressive is this is a team that's been riddled by injuries. They get A.J. Klein off his RV as he's headed down to Key West to come in and play, and he leads the team in tackles. Not only leads the team in tackles, leads the both teams in tackles. So it's dealing with that adversity, and then this is what you want. You want your elite players to be elite in these moments, and he was. And maybe my expectation for Patrick Mahomes is different than yours.
No, maybe.
I expect him to be a star.
You're over the moon of the 200 yards passing by Josh Allen, so maybe your expectations are low for him.
But you're playing an absolutely depleted Miami defense.
Josh was better than Patrick
If we're going to talk about Miami's defense, then we've got to – okay, but again, the question was about the teams, not about the individual quarterbacks. Like, you guys might be quarterbacks. But if we're going to do the Miami injury thing, then you must include this fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers going into this game were 1-10 without T.J. Watt.
Right.
They did not have T.J. Watt. They're now 1-11. So I understand Miami had more injuries. Pittsburgh had arguably the league's best defensive player who they, for some reason, cannot win a single solitary game without him there. And so I thought the Bills' offense was much more impressive than the Chiefs' offense this weekend. But I thought the Bills' defense, maybe it's because of injuries, but those injuries are not going to solve themselves the next 5 days. I thought the Bills' defense, once again, looked like a defense that can be exploited, while the Chiefs' defense for the, 19th straight week looks great.
This guy literally was preparing his family to go to Key West when they called him up and said, hey, can you come up there? He's like, yeah, and he leads the team in tackles. So for the coaching staff to be able to implement him into the defense, for him to be able to play at that level, and I understand that Pittsburgh may not be the most explosive offense world. I get it. But when you're dealing with guys just off the street, it's hard to make it all work.
That's why I was so impressed.
Coach, I want to drill down on a specific play. It's a story in three parts. First part of the story is Kenny Pickett, ironically, who did this fake slide. It would be two years in college. So they ended up changing this rule because it's basically cheating. So Josh Allen last night, we're in the second quarter, where Josh Allen doesn't fake slide, but he does hit the brakes. Maybe it was incidental, maybe it was not. But it turns into a long run. And then later in the game, in the fourth quarter, he has a run here where he ends up getting a late hit because he's sliding. Do you think it just rubbed me the wrong way, where Pickett's thing was obviously egregious and led to a rule change, but how are you defending Josh Allen where you don't want to get a penalty, you don't want to get thrown out of the game, but you have to go after him, especially if he's starting and stopping and it leads to a touchdown?
Well, I do think those two runs were pretty different. Like in this run, that's how he cuts. He's not being a high cut athlete, and as big as he is, it's not going to be that smooth when he transitions like that. I think that was a legitimate cut right here, as opposed to him faking a slide. And the other one, I thought he was clearly going down.
Yeah.
Watching this, and it's such a difficult thing for defenders because you're trying to protect the first, stop the first down. You're trying to deal with a running quarterback that has consistently run throughout the course of the game, and then you're being asked to protect him as a runner. It's a tough spot for defenders to be in.
I agree with you, Coach. That's not completely definitive. Was he faking
I thought it was smart. I thought he was slowing down for that exact purpose, to try to deep
throw him off.
Yes, I thought it was smart.
And that's the thing.
You thought the long run was?
Yeah, I thought it was intentional and smart.
It's not fair. As you said, like a defender, and I've seen so many where the quarterback slide and the defender comes in, where I thought, man, his momentum was going already. How could he avoid hitting the quarterback and they get flagged? So I think they got to do something, because
Mahomes doesn't do this, but Mahomes does this flirt with the sideline.
Yep.
Pretend I'm going to go out of bounds, and then you let up, and then I keep going. Yeah. He scored a touchdown against the Titans in the AFC title game 5 years ago doing that. It rubs me the wrong way when there is a rule in place for player safety that then gets exploited. The thing that also rubs me the wrong way is I know people like, because Mahomes got that roughing the passer call this weekend. That was the second roughing the passer call he's gotten all year. This was Josh's eighth, and this was another one where, and I don't know if you want to review this or what, he tricked the ref into thinking his head got hit. And that's when he slung his head back, when it didn't. And so if we're going to have things reviewable and we can now kick players out via review, you know what I mean, if they call a personal foul, then I do wonder if you call something like that,
flopping,
if they can buzz, for flopping, if they can buzz down and say, now maybe they would have said even without.
I don't want to go that far. I just think it's hard to start regulating intent.
Right.
No, but he didn't hit him in the head. No,
but
a
lot of guys try to, you know, do stuff like, I don't fault him for that, but you can't. Defenders are helpless.
But
if you're like, if I hit him too hard and he starts going down, I might get a penalty.
We used to complain about it in the meeting rooms, and guys would complain about it. And Bill's Belichick's feeling was they didn't pay, you know, $10 billion to watch a 6-3 game. You know, they want offense to win, and they want offense to win consistently. So you're just at the mercy of whatever the call is, and you deal with it, and if it goes bad, it goes bad.
And it's risky in this regard. Yes, it's risky that you can get a 15-yard penalty, but it's also risky for the quarterback, where if defenders start to think, oh, he's not actually going out of bounds, he's not actually going down, you might get lit up in a spot. And, yeah, they'll get the 15-yard penalty, but you can get lit up in that spot.
Is Belichick headed to the NFC East next on First Things
First? Did I step on your ability to make a 6-3 game joke?
Yeah, I was going to be like, Nick Sirianni agree.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Falcons tweeted out that they had completed their interview with Bill Belichick. Mike Florio writing, quote, "The question for Belichick could come down to the balancing of a Super Bowl-ready roster like the Cowboys or Eagles against the possibility that Arthur Blank will break the bank and or give Belichick full control of the team, clearing out the front office and letting Belichick do his thing." But with the dual collapses of Philly and Dallas, we'll start with you, Nick. Which option is best for Belichick?
So I thought this morning, I thought one thing. I thought more about it. I landed on Dallas. I thought I was going to land on Philly because of my questions about Dak in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But the more I looked at it, I think Philly has put a fair amount on the credit card as far as a lot of these contracts and void years and things like that. They have Jason Kelce walking out the door. Mm-hmm. We don't know about Fletcher Cox. I don't even really have questions. I kind of have answers of who Dak is as a playoff quarterback. I have questions on who Jalen is as a quarterback. I have questions on who Jalen is as far as if last year was the aberration year or not. And I think that Dallas has so much more raw talent in the building, mm-hmm, that if this is a mini window, like 3 to 4 years, and if we put ourselves in cap hell and have to pay for it afterwards, so what? It's Belichick trying to get Shula's record one more Super Bowl before he turns 75, and it's Jerry Jones trying to get one more Super Bowl before he gets into his mid-80s. I think Dallas is the better option.
I actually agree with you. Now, I think the fit in the front office with ownership in Philly is better. But as far as the roster, I'd rather have Dallas's, because Philly's defensive backfield, I mean, obviously,
it's in shambles last night.
Yeah, so I think Philly, you'd have to bring in a lot more players and get rid of a lot more players. Dallas, you can pretty much step in there. Now, I think they need a running back that's a meat eater, that's a grinder, that, you know, take a little bit away from Pollard. And I think a little more size on defense, so they're bigger. But outside of that, I think Dallas's roster is ready. And the payoff with Dallas is better. Now, it's great either way. You win a Super Bowl with either of those teams, obviously, mm-hmm, it's great. But with Dallas, you lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl? I mean, I could one-up what Brady did in Tampa. So, I think Dallas.
When you look at the two teams, so Dallas is $11 million over the cap, and Philly's $28 million under the cap. Philly has 9 draft picks, including 2 twos, and Dallas has 5 picks. So it's in terms of being able to improve the team, Philly's got some more room than Dallas does right now. From a fit standpoint or from a need standpoint, Philly's defense was poor. So they're 31st in points. I think it was 30th in passing, 26, right on down the line. Not very good. So his ability to come in and impact the team in the most meaningful way would be in Philadelphia, because that's the defensive side of the ball. Now, in Dallas, they were very good defensively, statistically, top five in almost every category. Yeah, they had some hiccups. They weren't as good in the running game. But that's been a good defensive performance. I think the other part of it is Philly has more challenging guys. I think it's a more challenging locker room. And I don't know how that's going to play with Bill's personality, because typically those two don't mesh, where it seems, and this is outside looking in, that Dallas has a better culture right now. From a standpoint of working with ownership, the nice thing about Dallas is the GM is the owner. So if you guys collectively make a decision, you don't have to go to the owner and say, hey, we need some money. He is the owner. Yeah. So if you guys want to go get someone.
Oh, so that's a positive in your mind.
I think that's a positive, because sometimes when you want to go spend a bunch of money, you guys make that decision. You got to go pitch it to the owner, and they'll say, okay, I'll give you, right, you know, $20 million, but I'm not going to give you $50 million. Where with Jerry, if you guys agree, he can pull the trigger right away.
I would like Tomlin in Philly.
Oh, you're firing Tomlin?
No, I think he might walk away.
If
he walks away, if Sirianni is fired.
Yeah.
I think Tomlin I like him there.
Oh, yeah, I like Tomlin everywhere. Yeah. Holy cow.
Tomlin and Jalen? I like that tandem.
Well, I like it a lot. Oh, Pennsylvania. I wasn't expecting
it. I was ready to go talk about Jerry Jones. You switched it up on me.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Eagles have landed with a thump. Their last seven games. Lost 49ers, lost Dallas, lost Seattle. Win against the Giants. Lost Arizona, lost to the Giants, lost to the Big Show. Jalen Hurts goes from the Super Bowl to a first round exit. Here he is postgame.
My number one message is just to use every moment as an opportunity to learn and grow. And, you know, it may not show now, but it'll show, you know. And as I said, it wasn't our turn. It's not our turn. We've had the opportunities. We've had the crumbs. We've had everything to our disposal. But it wasn't our turn. And I can accept that.
Okay. Here's the regression this year. Yeah. Wins are down, passing yards are down just a little, total TDs are down, the interceptions are up from 6 to 15, and rushing yards down. Again, that's where we had the idea that he was a little bit hurt. So I thought this question was unfair, but I tried to phrase it as fair as possible. Is it possible the Eagles have a Jalen Hurts problem?
Oh, it's definitely possible. And I'm going to use a different player as a comp. A player that no one was concerned about. Peyton Manning was the number one player in the nation in high school. Peyton Manning went to college, and people said the moment he started, that guy's a franchise quarterback. He stayed next, that guy's a franchise quarterback. His rookie season, threw a bunch of picks, but still threw for a bunch of yards, a bunch of touchdowns, franchise quarterback. His second season, they won 13 games, franchise quarterback. Third season, led the league in yards and touchdowns, franchise quarterback. Fourth season, playoffs, the picks are way up, the team's bad.
6-10.
Was anyone in that moment like, ooh, that's who Peyton is, not who he's been every other year? No. We were like, it's a bad year. Jalen Hurts out of high school, tweener at Alabama. When it comes to NFL quarterback, tweener. At Oklahoma, tweener. Drafted, tweener. First year as a quarterback, nah. Second year as a quarterback, ah. Third year, holy crap, superstar. Fourth year as a quarterback, ah. So is it fair to wonder, is he what he's been every step except for the 1 year? Of course it is. Of course it's fair to wonder, and he got paid, which is where the problem comes in. The problem only comes in because he's paid like he's the guy, and there's a lot of evidence that he might not be, and 1 year of evidence that he definitely is.
It's fair. It's fair. Now, if I have to bet, I'm betting on Jalen. I think his character, his work ethic, the things, the adversities he's been through, and we saw Lamar improve as a passer. We've even seen Jalen improve as a passer. Yeah. But I think he can improve even more. I think he's the type of player, Coach, though, that has to be the right offensive coordinator. He's not going to be a Mahomes or that guy that kind of whoever he's with, he's going to just be awesome. I think he has to have the right coordinator. I also think that I wouldn't be surprised if this offseason, and actually pretty soon, we find out he's going to have some type of offseason surgery or something on a knee or whatever to clean some stuff out. Because he didn't look like he could run at all. This guy ran a 4.6 40 or 4.59 or something like that, 40. And he didn't look like he had any speed most of the year. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's probably an injury there as well.
Mm. Well, one of the concerns that I had going into the season was when you pay a guy, typically that year that you pay him, you don't get the production that you're looking for because you're paying him for what he's done. And then the player typically wants to do more. And they want to show that they justify the contract. And then they press. And when they press, they aren't as good. And early on, it didn't look like he was going to suffer from that. But over the course of time, what do we get? We get a lot more interceptions, 9 more interceptions. We get 10 less points in terms of his quarterback rating. And he's pressing. I do like his character. I like his approach. I think in a system that can really build on his intelligence, his work ethic, and he can start taking advantage of defenses and coverages and all those things, that he'll continue to improve. But to say that he's a home run franchise quarterback, he's being paid like one, but it's hard to say that you can that
is definitive.
Definitive.
All right, so I don't think he's Mahomes, but they were in the Super Bowl last year, mm-hmm. and they both changed out their coordinators. But and they both regressed a little bit.
Yeah.
But the Eagles defense got way worse. It went from top of the line to bottom of the barrel. And the Chiefs defense went from pretty good to excellent. And all of a sudden, Mahomes is still Mahomes. He gets a chance to shine. Don't you think that part of this is complementary football? And well, like, man, my team is giving up 350 yards to Baker Mayfield. Like, yeah, it's a little frustrating and it all starts to crumble there.
Yeah, that's why I don't love quarterback wins because, yes, it is complimentary football and I agree with you on that. But that's also why if Mahomes' only good year was last year, people would be more worried about what's happened this year. But here's the other part. And then we have to do something very important. But the other part is this. Part of Jalen's greatness is supposed to be leadership. When the entire team looks like it has quit, that falls on you a bit.
All right, does it fall on Jason Kelce?
No.
Okay, why?
Well, really? Why not?
Why not?
Because he's not the quarterback of the
team. But he's a leader.
He's the leader.
And he's a veteran.
Okay. We have the whole internet crying about Jason Kelce, but Jalen's the leader and he has to bear the brunt of it?
Okay, well, you know what? Jason Kelce, retire then. Oh, wait, he did. Okay, so that doesn't help.
We've seen LeBron have bad locker rooms and we know he's a great leader.
I understand. What I am saying, and we're going to have to now do the bulletin board later, which I wanted to eliminate all the Eagles who talk trash all year, but now we have to wait till later in the show because you take a shot at Jason Kelce.
I take a shot. I'm saying there's two leaders on the team all people talk about. Right. Jason Kelce.
Yes, all right, that's fine. But one guy gets all the blame. Maybe he fell a little short this year as well. Maybe that's what it was.
Only one guy doing a podcast.
What I'm saying is what we can't have is
sorry,
this.
Sorry, Dust.
Is part of the reason people love Jalen when they're winning is what a great leader and uniter he is. And then when the team is ripping itself apart at the seams, giving weird quotes, A.J. Brown's gone, they quit in a playoff game to where Troy Aikman seemed disgusted by them, there has to be some of that fall. If he gets credit when it's good, then it's got to be some of that there. If you want to now besmirch Jason Kelce
retires,
the
leaders
you go ahead.
Have to share the blame.
You guys go
is that
ahead.
Unfair,
Swifties,
no,
go
they,
after him.
They definitely have to share the blame, but I don't think it's just on him. And that the more challenging the locker room, the harder it is to lead regardless of who you are and how good you are.
Bulletin board bit, and you got your Kelce taken that you said before the show.
Live from New York, it's the show that is somehow going to work the bulletin board into the next few blocks, even though it's not planned.
We have to. We have people who lost. They have to be eliminated.
It's the bulletin board demands tribute. First, today, Mahomes heads to Buffalo for his first road game.
Kind of.
I mean, kind of. Oh,
the Super Bowl that was unfair that should have been relocated.
Meanwhile, Tomlin literally walks away. What this means for the future, his future. In Pittsburgh. But right now,
we might do the bulletin board instead of the Tomlin topic.
I like that topic. It's Tuesday at 4 o'clock, which means time for the iciest and most unforgiving segment in all of sports media. It's also time for us to pretend that our desk has been transported high into the Andes, where a violent snowpack has accumulated. And I'm snowblind without these goggles. Alas, we summit onward and upward in a special playoff edition of Mahomes Mountain.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction, as always, Kevin Wildes. Now listen, falling off the mountain in the regular season, we'll be honest, it's a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a badge of dishonor. Falling off the mountain in the postseason is not necessarily that. At the end of the year, there will only be one person left on the mountain. So we will show you the six who fell off the mountain. What are you, what, Wilds?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, there are only, we will show you the six who fell off the mountain. So that was, you know, last week's playoff quarterbacks who didn't make it.
If you lose, you're off.
And if you lose, you're off. What are you going to be doing on the mountain? Just taking up space.
If you play great?
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's just remaining quarterbacks. So we can show you last week's mountain to see where these guys were. And the mountain had them, you know, some of them fairly judged. Three bottom row guys, one fourth row guy. And then both of our second row guys fell off the mountain. So now only eight guys remain. We go to level four of the divisional round mountain. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy, those vacant spots are just so we can keep the mountain shape. We apologize, we haven't
now
figured
again,
out the graphics.
It's not left to right.
It is not left to right.
Like
it is only top to bottom.
Guys. No, I beg to differ.
Okay,
this
well,
is clearly left right. You could put Purdy next to Goff and two vacant spots next to him.
Right.
And if you were saying something there. You think he's slick.
If anything, I was trying to prove it's not left to right, because no matter what I think of Brock Purdy, I certainly don't think he's a worse quarterback than a naked silhouette of nobody. So if I had just put the two vacant guys on the right, but Purdy didn't play, and Goff, listen, I was ready to move Goff up, and then what did we see yesterday? Show me row three. Big Show! Big Show had to be moved up instead. If we can show row number three, thank you so much. Baker with a brilliant performance. The first Buccaneers quarterback in their history in the postseason throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns. I know that sounds crazy. When Joe Buck said it last night, I said, that can't be true. When I checked Football Reference, I said, Joe Buck, well done, sir. You are correct. Tom Brady never did it. Jordan Love.
Doug Williams?
None of them. Not Tom Brady, not anybody. Not even Trent Dilfer. Jordan Love had a perfect passer rating. They put him back in the game. He threw an incomplete pass and he lost it. Lamar didn't play, so he remains. Row two, C.J. Stroud, no hyperbole. I don't know if you can put him high enough. Right now, this moment, if every player in the league were available, and you get him for the next decade, Mahomes is the no doubt number one pick. CJ is in the discussion for the next one.
Yeah.
Some would say the guy next to him, Josh Allen. Some would say Joe Burrow. Some would say Lamar. CJ. Some would say Caleb. CJ is in the discussion.
For the record,
for
no,
that
I'm
pick.
Saying Caleb.
Okay, I think some would.
I mean, I
some
I,
would.
I
think
no,
okay,
say,
again,
some
again,
say Lamar Jackson.
The Wilds for a television Caleb pro, you should know that when we're on this one solo shot
well, I
and
can't
that
just,
there,
no, I
and
can't then, just let you say Caleb. Some would say Caleb. Like, no, no one.
Okay, goodness, okay, Caleb. Some would say that.
Some would say Joe Burrow.
Would some say Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Do you think some people would trade Joe Burrow for Caleb Williams?
No.
Really? Maybe, you before the show told me you think Dak Prescott's better than Joe Burrow.
I do.
Okay.
Wow.
There we go. And now atop the mountain.
You said that?
Yeah, he did say that. A very disorganized mountain, thanks to Wilds getting. You know, he's got snow packed in his ears too. Patrick Mahomes. And I know Coach was unimpressed by Patrick Mahomes, but it's a playoff edition on the mountain. So just a quick reminder of Patrick Mahomes' postseason ranks. And I did a dirty trick to Coach before the show. I was like, hey, Coach, just in home playoff games, meaning non-Super Bowls, what do you think Mahomes' touchdown interception ratio is? And I got him on the record. He was like, maybe 18-3. I said, try 31-3 on for size, buddy. And he was like, wow. And I was like, now you can't talk trash on. And then how about Mahomes in wild card or divisional round? Let's see how he's done. Okay, so
pretty
he's
good.
Never lost. He has 17 touchdowns, one pick, a 113 passer rating, 330 yards. What round are we in right now? The divisional rounds. He's still atop the mountain. Coach, go right ahead.
So I've been doing this for a while, and I know how you work.
What do you
and
mean?
I know that you like to throw those short-term, mid-term, long-term views, and that's how you raise up or go down the mountain. So let's look at Mahomes versus Josh Allen, because Josh Allen should be on top of the mountain.
Ooh,
so let's take a look just short-term this past week, if we can bring that up.
There it is.
So just in the wild card game, we see that Josh Allen has outperformed Mahomes substantially, whether it's TD to interception, passer rating, rush yards, rush TDs, and then red zone percentage.
Coach, but I'm curious, why didn't you include passing yards?
Hold on a second.
Was that an oversight?
Let's take a look over the last six games. The last six games, each one of these guys have played and see where they're. Oh, one's 6-0, the other one's 3-3. Look at the interception and TDs. Let's look at passer rating.
Neither's that great.
Hold on a second. Josh Allen's better there, too. Rush yards better. How many rushes he did? Oh, he has seven.
No, we have a real running back.
The other guy has zero. Okay, so that's the midterm part of it. Let's look at just red zone over the last 5 years.
Here's the impressive
stats. Yeah, 35-plus touchdowns and a QB rating of 100-plus. The only guy that's done it has been Josh Allen this year. Patrick Mahomes has done it in the past.
Effective, aren't
you? He has, but he hasn't. Here's how good he's been this year in the red zone, which I know is problematic for your group.
Yeah, it's not that
that's pretty good.
Short term,
okay.
I mean, midterm.
That's pretty. You long-term. Did that, Christina?
That was excellent.
Those are
jobs
really
at risk
well done.
This guy.
Can we, all right, before we show my rebuttal,
like
can we show the mountain one more time? Because Coach has a fatal flaw in his argument. Can we just show the whole mountain? Wilds, what does it say on the left hand side of Mahomes Mountain?
Oh, it's a playoff edition.
Playoff
so you can't
edition.
Bring in regular
No, you can
stuff.
Bring in whatever you want.
Oh, I guess you
but
can.
I, but I would like to show you Patrick
Where's
versus Josh.
Ball? I checked
well, no,
the
hold
ball.
On. Let's just, because they
the
play each other this week. So let's see Patrick versus Josh in the postseason. Let's look at Josh's numbers first, because they're really good. He has 65% completions, 386 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 1 turnover, 105 rating. Wow! That's amazing. How could he possibly be 0-2 in those matchups? Oh, because Mahomes is better across the board and everything. And deep down, Coach, in your soul, if you were, I would argue, on in any other seat other than the one next to me right now, and someone's like, you know what? I think Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes. You would lose your mind. You would absolutely hate that take. You would be like, oh, give me a break. Win something. But because you're next to me and you're trying to make me furious, you're making this argument.
Look, there are some great things about that argument. But what we're talking about is Mahomes Mountain in the current state and over the course of the season. And we do like to take a little bit of a look.
Okay, yeah.
Because he has had a problem in the red zone. So I thought that.
It's
that
only a problem if they lose.
And I understand that it's called Mahomes Mountain, so he's got to be there regardless of the fact.
No,
that
he doesn't. He's dropped
substantially
a few
outplayed.
No, he's dropped a few times.
Josh Allen.
Go ahead. Coach, I thought that was impressive. That
Thank
was a
you.
Great argument.
Little funny
and
numbers.
I'm glad you guys stayed for the most part to this season, because this season, Wilds, who's been the best quarterback? He's about to win the MVP for the
Lamar
second
Jackson.
Time. Lamar Jackson.
I think you're trying to trick
he had a brain freeze there. I know it's cold up there.
I wouldn't have a brain freeze.
Lamar Jackson is about to win the MVP.
Yeah.
All right, and I think this is how it works. When you're in the playoffs, you play playoff teams.
That's true.
So let's see how good Lamar Jackson has been this season against playoff teams. 6-2, completion percentage goes up. Yards per pass goes up, TD interception goes up, passer rate goes. Like, dude is better against the better teams. And I get Nick says he's 1-3 in the playoffs, which
I don't
is
say
true.
That. Football reference.
Right, right. Okay, he is 1-3 in the playoffs. And he has not played well. But the first year, I think we all give him a pass. He was a rookie.
Sure.
I get Stroud's a rookie, but he's a rookie.
What about the second?
Second year, that was a tough one. All right, I'll give you that. But and he wasn't as good of a passer. Like, he's a better passer now.
Yeah.
He's in a better pass-friendly offense or more pass-friendly. And he's got better receivers to throw the football to. And now, two tight ends. Mark Andrews hurt, but likely
Mark Andrews,
developed like
we don't know that if and when he'll be back, but he could be.
And I Lamar Jackson should move up the mountain.
To where?
And your mountain's very – look at – as we see by the last row, vacant. So put him up on the second level. He
so
should be on the second level.
Are we moving anyone down?
I mean, your mountains are strange anyway.
No, it's very simple how the mountain works.
Well, Stroud, as a rookie, CJ is my guy.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud is my guy on this show. I called him before the draft last year.
Yeah, he is. But then Greg tried to take him.
So I'm just taking him down because he's a rookie. I'm putting Lamar up.
All right, so here's the thing. Wilds, before we show my graphic, Wilds, what does it say on the left side? Gosh darn it. What does it say on the left side of the mountain? It says playoff edition. So here's the problem. Because it's a playoff edition. It's not the regular season edition. It's not how many MVPs have you won.
Not preseason.
And so there's 8 quarterbacks left. Can we show those 8 quarterbacks and their playoff record and passer rating? So
does it matter how they played in the playoffs this year or not?
I mean, Jordan Love, you don't win. You don't begin winning
until
you start winning.
Lamar has not played in the playoffs yet this year.
It's the playoff edition, but it doesn't matter how they played in the first game of the playoffs.
I'm going to tell you, Coach, I'm telling you right now, If you watched that Chiefs game and thought Patrick Mahomes played poorly, and I don't say this lightly, I question your football IQ.
But
nobody can deny. And let coach, listen. Hey, let me work this side of the street. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson right now. Lamar currently has the worst record and passer rating of the 8 remaining quarterbacks.
I thought we were talking now.
We're doing.
He's about to win. It's a
rich tapestry, and Dak's going to finish second in the MVP. He's off the mountain.
It's a rich tapestry.
So I'm going to start my take with a question.
Yeah.
Because Baker's my guy. You know, I'm a Baker.
Baker's not your guy.
Really?
Can I be a Baker guy and a Goff guy?
I was the one in the Baker jersey.
No, you can't. You got
to
pick one.
I have to pick one?
Yeah.
I'm here to pick Jared Goff.
Okay.
Someone's got to be the Jared Goff guy. I'll be the Jared Goff guy. Nice. Raw numbers.
Did you both
completed
have tiny hands?
81%. That's actually true.
I know.
I can't dunk. Get over. Can't put it down. And if it gets cold, I'm great in a dome. Completed 81% of his passes, and he goes up against the Bucks. How do you do against the Bucks, you might ask, Brew? Good question. 353 yards with 2 touchdowns. Yeah, week
They're
6,
about
I
to
think.
Beat the Bucks.
Yeah, so he's I'm just a Goff guy.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Experience, which you already showed, you kind of jumped me. But Jared Goff, the only guy sitting around who's gone to a Super Bowl, he's had 7 playoff appearances, so I like that. He's basically the new Flacco, but a better story. And then finally, and this is my forte, because Coach, you do those play breakdowns and you just regurgitate Pro Football Reference. And Brew just says, I'm the elder statesman, and it says nothing. I'm the vibes guy.
You are.
Everybody knows I'm the vibes guy.
You are the vibes.
The San Francisco vibes, 8 out of 10. They're good vibes in general. Packers vibes, great. But you know,
what's the Bucks vibes?
Bucks vibes are solid. Little fraternity house vibe, like, hey, what's going on? Bake show squirting guys.
Animal house.
But the Lions vibes are at the same time super emotional and super tough. Lions have the best vibes out of everybody.
I have to jump in real quick. Wilds.
Yep. I agree with you.
Wilds, you have a rule that I'm not allowed to call you, you know, during non-work hours. But I broke it this weekend.
Yeah.
And why did
Several times.
I know. But why did I call you Sunday night? Do you not remember?
You said to hear my voice.
No, show the play. Show the play that made me call him.
Oh, yes.
I
this
called
is true.
Wilds the yes. moment this happened. And I said, and that's why
that
I can't believe it.
That wasn't great.
I said, if that exists in you,
that's a
then
low.
I can't ever
but
believe you're
teammate.
Great. If that exists inside of you in the playoffs in a 4-point game in the second half where you're just like, get it away from me, then I just can't believe in you.
Yeah.
And you said, and I quote, I get it.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
He was just trying to get you off the phone.
But
whatever. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Coming up next, playoff Mahomes on the road. We've never seen it before, besides several Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes' playoff record, 12-3. He, however, has never won a game on the road because he's never played a playoff game on the road. The Super Bowl in Tampa Bay notwithstanding. Nick, is this something or nothing?
Can I channel Brew for a moment?
Sure.
Oh, it's something. Something good. Brew would say. So, I kind of gave it away there, but let's do a little blind reveal, and you guys can guess what it is. So, here's two quarterbacks and their numbers, and they're both going to be very, very good, but you can tell me which one do you think's better. The record almost identical, 36-11, 38-11. Completion percentage goes up by 3, yards goes up by 22, yards per pass goes up by a little over 10%. Touchdown interception ratio goes up a touch. Pass rating goes up 8.
I think I know.
What do you think it is?
Both of them. One is Mahomes on the road, the better one, and Mahomes at home.
Yeah.
Brew, see, that's why you got that partial academic scholarship to Oberlin. You nailed it. And so, yeah, we've never seen him on the road in the playoffs, but I'm going to go ahead and say he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And so now you can argue not the same Mahomes, you know, this year as he's been years past, whatever it is. What over the course of his entire career with the best or worst Chiefs teams, mediocre Chiefs teams, he has been better on the road than at home. So, no, I'm not worried about him not playing a road playoff game before.
No, I hear you and I agree. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes. All right. And the one interestingly, of the 6 times they played Buffalo, 5 of them have been in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So the one time they did play in Buffalo, Kansas City won. I'm not worried about Mahomes. I'm worried about the receivers. Rashee Rice is a rookie. Is he going to be as good in Buffalo as he was last week in Kansas City? The other guys, I mean, at some point they might need another wide receiver to make a play. So I'm not so much worried about Mahomes, coach, but I'm concerned about the other guys, yeah.
I like playing on the road a lot of times in the playoffs. I thought that it was good in terms of it's just you. Kind of brings everybody together. It narrows the focus. You're not dealing with a ton of tickets, a ton of distractions. In Kansas City, I mean, there's a million distractions there. So that'll be good for them to be able to get away from that.
Are you joking about that?
No, I mean, there's superstars.
Other than Taylor Swift, what's the distraction?
It's like there's
we're
actors,
in the middle of
there's,
nowhere.
There's all these, you know, all these
like, what
things
are you
going on.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
And so many actors that do wilds out of cheese.
So there was real value. I thought there was some value in the way that it brought the team together. And Kansas City has the advantage of having 2 extra days rest. I think that like is that. More right. significant than the fact that they're playing on the road. And Buffalo already beat them at home.
Yeah.
So it's not like
I got 2 things.
And can you imagine if you had 7 extra days rest like Buffalo did before the regular season game? Like, what an advantage that would be. And I wonder if people would reference that.
Well, I think it's I think it's different at this point in the season where everybody's banged up.
Yeah, I agree.
The Bills have a ton of injuries.
I agree. Yeah, and despite that, the Bills are the favorites, man.
Kansas City unfairly gets 2 extra days of rest.
Unfairly. Okay.
I have 2 things. One, we heard this like, oh, Mahomes in a new place. He's going to go in and dominate. The last time we heard that take at this table was Lambeau Field, Mahomes going into Lambeau. And I was grinding Packers, you know, games all year. Yeah, he went into Lambeau. And we were saying, like, now he gets to win at Lambeau. Ha, 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 LOL. And he didn't play well because of that Packers staunch defense. Then the other thing is this, that we're kind of missing the forest for the trees. The reason Patrick Mahomes has always been at home is because the Chiefs have always been awesome.
Right.
And now they are not as good of a team, seed-wise, as the Bills. And this has not worked out for other, let me look at this. Yeah, I'll throw legendary, some legendary quarterbacks, some pretty good quarterbacks. Dan Marino had 7 home games.
Wait,
they lost.
Hold on. Did you say other? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to throw Marino in Montana somewhere. And some pretty good. And then Nick Foles.
Where's Montana? MVP? Oh, there he is. Sorry.
Right there.
Won a Super Bowl. They're on tilt.
Sorry.
McMahon. So those guys lost. Because, I mean, maybe it's because of the comforts of home. Maybe it's because their team just wasn't that good and they had to go on the road. I kind of lean towards the latter. So do I think Mahomes is going to be bothered by snow in Buffalo? No. Do I think that
the
seeding might be the cause of why
they
lose?
I think that Mahomes will be great, but I think you guys are you're talking about an unfair advantage. I think you guys are underrating the Bills right now. I mean, the Bills are a team of destiny. They've won 6 in a row. This is the game. This is the game.
There's got to be a banner.
This is
something's coming.
No, I am being serious. This is the game they have wanted for a half decade to be in their building.
Yeah.
They got it. The Chiefs are an enfeebled team that even when they win by 19 points against the Dolphins, people are unimpressed. And they don't have what nobody cares, respects Rashee Rice. Travis Kelce is distracted, according to coach. Like, so listen, this is a game. This is a game that the Bills have to win.
Yes.
And I am sure.
This is a must win. Double
I am sure. No, but here's the thing.
It's not
for Kansas City.
Definitely. It's a must win.
It's the biggest game the Bills have played in 30 years. It is the 6th biggest game the Chiefs have played in the last 30 months.
30 years.
Okay. Yeah, it's the biggest game the Bills have played in 30 years.
When you're playing for the Super Bowl, it's always the biggest game. I bet you Patrick Mahomes, those guys feel like this is the biggest game.
It is by definition not the biggest game they've played in the calendar year of 2023.
If they lose, they're going home.
I understand. They played in the Super Bowl 11 months ago.
That's fine. We're talking about this year.
No, this is a franchise-defining moment for the Bills. The Chiefs get the game.
Absolutely. No, both of them.
And tomorrow, Knicks tears. Ooh, it's going to be spicy. Also included on this, a stunt. We lived in a supermarket dairy aisle for 48 hours. Check it out on our YouTube page. Lori, that's going to work. Catch Mr. Beast. Mettelstein, Wemby in Atlanta. He has a little pump fake and a slam dunk. This
what
slam dunk.
What happens to you at the end of these shows?
This slam dunk. Almost got them a win, but nope. 7 wins on
Keep
the year.
Keep talking. I'm glad you.
He's gonna turn me into a Wimby guy because his take is so
you
wild.
What's my take? I like winning guys.
Your take is that you're killing a rookie for his team not being good. Bronze medal Trey, 36-6-13. Silver medal a guy who's been on an absolute heater, Kyrie, 42, yeah. 7, and 7. His team stuck when he was a rookie, yeah. too. Gold medal, Joel
Embiid.
Win
7 games?
41 and 10. Joel Embiid won 0 games as a rookie. In fact, also won 0 games as a second-year player. That's what they're trying to prevent happening to Wimby.
Dusty, how many
There's
games
the medal
Kyrie
stand. There's the medal stand from last night in the association. They got the number one pick, so 1 minute. They got number one pick the year after they got the number one pick.
I bet at this
pick.
Point in the season, Kyrie had
Let's
13 wins.
Okay.
They've got a few more
Let's
wins
go.
Than the
we
Pistons.
You're going to make me miss the bulletin board again.
Jalen Hurts.
I think he's trying to do that.
Nick. Season is
Bring
over.
It out,
so Nick made us reorganize the show so he can do this bulletin board
What do you
thing.
Mean? We've got to pay it off for the year. Oh, as guys get
as
eliminated, they
be.
Get eliminated. So Micah, you were eliminated this weekend. Remember when he said the Chiefs defense not top five? He's out. Brandon Graham talking about the turf, saying the Chiefs got blessed. He's out. Nick Sirianni talking all that trash to Chiefs fans. He's about to be out of a job. Yep. So you're not going to have to worry about hearing Yikes. Any bleep anywhere.
Wow.
Josh Allen's still safe. Tyreek. We Tyreek, forgot to eliminate yeah. Tyreek. Tyreek's out. Okay. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson right. plays AJ for the Lions
Brown?
Now. He's there. A.J. Brown. He's out as well.
Turn to the camera.
Buddy, this is why I had to hurry. You were too busy doing podcast stuff. All these guys eliminated.
I give you, Nick, it looks good.
It's Josh Allen, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson,
we'll
the
survive.
Bills franchise, and Cowherd. The only ones left. I don't know
Next, we're here at 3 o'clock. More of Nick's back. We just